Definitely on the inside. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27 says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What do you use a candle for? You use a candle to supply light. You use a candle to show you something you cannot see. And Proverbs 20:27 says is that man's spirit is like a candle, and that God uses it to search the inward parts of man. Not so that God can know man, but so that man can know himself in the light of God's truth. Something I want you to understand is that when we are talking about hearing God, what I am referring to is conversational relationship. Conversational relationship. And if you've read the shack, those two words should take on a whole new meaning for you. I do want to interject, though, right here. Charlie was sharing with me in the elders' prayer this morning that last week the Lord spoke to him and told him something I had never thought about before. In fact, corrected one of my wrong doctrines. Charlie said the Lord spoke to him last week and said to him, "You were not created to worship." Well, I thought that's why we were created. He said, "No, you were not created to worship, because if you'd been created to worship, there would have been an altar in the garden." Worship was a result of the fall because of the guilt that we hear.
Wow.
Then what we were created for was not worship, but conversational relationship. The ability to be able to hear God is why we were created. And yet we are so far from that. Thank you for sharing it with me too, Charlie. That is phenomenal. God's conversation with us, though, is not for show and tell. The bigger the encounter and the more it's talked about, the more suspect the encounter actually needs to be. See, Lot? The bigger the encounter and the more it's talked about, the more suspect the encounter needs to be. If I go, "Hey, buddy, how's it going?" And she says, "Fine, how's it going?" There's nothing big about that. But if Peggy's not listening, I go, "Peggy!" Don. And yet when God speaks big, we think of it as being big. Maybe when God speaks big, it's because we're not paying attention. So the bigger the encounter, the more we talk about it like as if it's some sort of show and tell.
Maybe more suspect the encounter and suspect the person who supposedly experienced the encounter might be. Selah. Even though God is speaking, we must be willing, and not only willing, but trying to hear. According to Jeremiah 29:13, he says, "Then you will seek me, inquire and require me, and find me when you search for me with your whole heart." When you search for me with your whole heart. So God speaking is not enough for us to hear. God has to speak. We have to inquire. We have to require. We have to seek after Him with a whole heart. The Bible gives us six, and I think it's interesting that six is the number of man. The Bible gives us six ways in which God addresses man. Number one. Everybody with me here? Okay. Number one. Thank you. A phenomenon plus a voice. One of the ways in which God speaks to man is a phenomenon plus a voice. Moses had a burning bush, and then a voice that spoke to him and said, take off your shoes, you're standing on holy ground. Saul was struck down and blinded, and then a voice said to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Abraham had a phenomenon with a voice that says, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And so one of the ways in which God speaks is a phenomenon that is then accompanied with a voice. Everybody with me on number one? Number two, a supernatural messenger or an angel. A supernatural messenger or an angel. You would go, well, I would think of an angel as a supernatural messenger. Well, yes. But there are times when the scriptures are a little cloudy as to whether or not the person being addressed was an angel or whether or not it was the Lord appearing. You take Abraham, when the three visitors came to see him. And he talks to them, and then later on he refers to one of them as Lord. That may very well have been Jesus. So sometimes it can be a messenger. It can be the Lord disguising himself as something else. Or it can actually be an angel. Everybody with me on that? Now, what we need to be very careful here with messengers and angels, because according to Hebrews 13:2, some have entertained angels unaware. All of us have, you know, who've been going here for any amount of time at all, have heard Dad tell the story about his conviction that he encountered an angel driving through Virginia one time at a little diner. Many of us have had experiences where we felt like that we had been visited by somebody who demonstrated themselves to us in a physical form, but their real personage was not physical at all. I remember some time back, I was sitting at a dinner table with a bunch of people that I worked with, and the subject came up about me being a preacher, and one of the guys sitting across the table looked at me and said, "Do you believe in angels?" And I said, "Oh, you mean like the one standing right there?" Because we have to understand, we are encompassed about with a great host of witnesses. Amen. And just because there are people who don't believe in angels doesn't do away with them at all. Any questions on number two? Number three, dreams and visions. God speaks to man according to biblical terms, biblical examples, through dreams and visions. In Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, what you have there is you have Peter on a rooftop. And he has this vision of this sheet with the four corners being held up, and all of these animals are let down, and a voice speaks to him. Here's a phenomenon with a voice. The voice speaks to him and says, "Kill and eat." And he goes, "Oh, I can't eat that. Some of that stuff's unclean." And we all know the conversation between Peter and God says to him, "Don't call unclean what I call clean, and don't call clean what I call unclean." Joseph, Jesus' stepfather, had, not his father, okay, had visions. He had a dream where an angel came to him and said, "Take Mary." And he had a dream where an angel came to him and said, "Take the child and go to Egypt." So the third way is dreams and visions. Everybody with me on that? Anybody got a question? Okay. Number four. God speaks, according to scriptures, in an audible voice. An audible voice. Adam experienced it. As a matter of fact, I was corrected some years back. I used to say that God walked with Adam in the cool of the day, but the Bible doesn't say that. It says the voice of God walked with him. And there was an audible voice that Adam heard. Moses heard an audible voice. Saul heard an audible voice. Many others heard an audible voice. One of the greatest examples of an audible voice being heard is the child Samuel. He heard his name called, and he went to Elijah, and he said, "You know, what do you want?" Yeah, and he said, Next time you hear it, say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." It was an audible voice that he heard. It is an inner voice, or as today's message I titled, an interior voice can also be heard. An audible voice and an interior voice. I want you to, let me give you a chance to write, and then, because I want you to stop, and I want you to, your mind to go with me for a second. I used to go to church with a guy who freaked out every time I used the word visualization.
You know, that's what mystics do, and that's what you're.
Well, where do you think they got it from? But I just want you to visualize for a moment that Jesus is standing there, and he's got all of his disciples around him, and they're all yak-yakking and talking, and they're dusty and they're dirty and they've had a long day. And all of a sudden, in the middle still of this conversation, Jesus says to them, "Hey guys, let me ask you a question. Who do men say that I am?" Now, I want you to hit the pause button on the CD right there and ask yourself this question. Do I know who gave him the answer? Yeah, I think most of you in the room do. Where did he get the answer from? He sure had not figured it out. But there was an interior voice that spoke. And all of a sudden he began to speak. Hit the play button now. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." In other words, the scribes and Pharisees didn't come along and go, "Hey, we've searched the scriptures, and guess what? We found out this guy's who he says he is." That's not what happened. He heard a voice on the inside that he then repeated. Many times God will speak to us audibly, and many times God will speak to us audibly, and it's something that we hear, like, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" But sometimes the audible voice is an audible voice on the inside that nobody else can hear. Yeah. That we hear with our spirit, we don't hear with our physical ears. That is that interior voice. Everybody with me? This is the most common way in which God does speak to His people. And it's the most common way for three reasons. Number one, it validates the close personal aspect of the relationship. Do you know that in a day's time, if I'm walking through a Walmart store, well, that wouldn't be true about me. Because if I'm anywhere and I come close to you and we look at each other, or we're even anywhere within spitting distance of each other, I always speak. Whether I know you or not makes no difference. Michelle says to me all the time, "You know you're freaking people out, don't you?" I'm like, we're all people. You know, I'm not here to eat you. I don't think you're here to eat me. I'm gonna speak. You know, "Hey, how you doing? Hope you have a good day." You know, something. I'm gonna say something. Because what I have learned is that whether you're a treasure to me or not, you're a treasure to Him, and He's a treasure to me. Amen. And whether you got on a three-piece suit or you look like you spent the night under the bridge, you're still a treasure to Him. Amen. And He's a treasure to me. That makes you a treasure to me. And I just speak. But a lot of people don't speak, okay? And some people don't speak back. But we always, if you're running in a corner in the grocery store and somebody else is running in the corner and you know them, you speak to them. Because there is a personal relationship. God speaking that interior voice on the inside of us validates the fact that we are in personal relationship. Everybody with me? Second reason why this is the most frequently used way is because this form is shared by the Christian community at large. God speaks to Steve, He speaks to Mike, He speaks to Daryl, He speaks to me, He speaks to you. This is a common shared experience because we all know the same, please excuse my word, we all know the same person. Can I use that word and not get in trouble? Okay. We all know the same person. Yeah, capital P. Okay, yeah. There we go. That gets me out of trouble. We all know the same capital P person. And so this is an experience that is shared by the Christian community at large. And that's one of the reasons why God uses this frequently over phenomenon and voice or angels and messengers. This is the second reason. Number three is because it promotes personal development of our nature and our character. Did I use the word character? Yes, character. It promotes the changing of our nature and our character. Look at me. It is not intended to change your actions. Because your actions are nothing more than the fruit of your character. And God is not in the business of changing our actions. We're in the business of being worried about our actions. I wish I was a better person. I wish I didn't do this. I wish I didn't do that. I wish I wasn't tempted by that. I wish I didn't think about this. We're in the business of worrying about our actions. God is not in the business, number one, of worrying about anything. But what God concentrates and focuses on is not our actions. God's not trying to stop you from doing something. He's working on you to make you the kind of person you wouldn't want to do that. Selah, hang there just one second. But see, we're like, I need to quit smoking, or I need to quit drinking, or I need to quit cussing, or I need to quit. And God says, all those are symptoms. They're not the problem. The problem is that you need this interior, this inner voice that is shaping, making, changing, recreating, not what you do, but who you are. And when who you are changes, what you do changes. That voice promotes personal development of nature and of character. Any questions on number four? Number five. The human voice. God speaks through a human voice. What is the difference between human voice and audible voice? Well, this is the difference. The human voice is where God and man are speaking conjointly. This is where God and man are speaking conjointly. You have the audible voice of God actually speaking, but you have God speaking through the human voice, where God is speaking through a person, and that person is saying the identical same thing that God is saying. To put this in sort of a reference where I think most of us in the room have had this kind of an experience, and so we can equate to it, it's like when you receive a prophecy that is right on the money from somebody who doesn't know you at all. Happened to me, where'd Sharon go? Was it last December or the December before when we went to the church down in Monroe? And that preacher down there didn't know me. Was that when it was, last December? That's right, you were there too. That preacher didn't know me, for I had never seen him before. He'd never seen me before. But he walked right up, and he put his hands on my head, and he said, God says. And I mean, he opened up my diary and just read right out of it. Now, many of us in this room, we've had that experience. That's what we're talking about here. God speaks through the human voice. He uses a person to say what it is He wants to say. There are many times when I'm standing up here and I say things that I just sort of like, what did I just say? That is that experience right there. That's what we're talking about. It's God and man speaking conjointly, or in conjunction with each other. This is the most common way in which God speaks. Why? Because it is the joining of free will and divine purpose. When God speaks through the human voice, it is the joining of free will, that's what you have, with divine purpose. This makes, I love this right here, this makes man and God co-laborers. This makes man and God co-laborers, doing two things. This is so good. Are you ready? When God speaks to the human voice, it makes man and God co-laborers, number one, socially interacting. Just see-law that for just a moment. Because we don't think about God socially. And yet, what is conversational relationship if it's not social? What we say is we are socializing with each other. And when God... Anybody find this exciting other than me? I think this is great. Because the concept of God... You know, if you said to me, does God interact in society? I would say, yeah. But if you said to me, does God socialize? I'd go, oh no. But he does. And this, according to what Charlie taught me this morning, is the point. It's the point. Social interaction between free will and divine purpose. Now, you notice there's a comma right there, though, not a period. Okay, and that there's another part of your little outline there. The human voice makes man and God co-laborers. They are co-laboring in social interaction, and what they are doing is what God does, expressing love. Whether it's the guy last December who comes up and opens up my diary and reads to me and says, here's what God wants you to know. Or whether it's God coming to me with what we think of as some sort of corrective word. It doesn't make any difference whether the word is encouraging or the word is correcting. They are both expressed by love. Amen. The motivation, the heart behind it, the intent, and the purpose is a demonstration that God so loved the world that He sent us a voice. That He sent us a voice. Sent us His voice. Now, before I go on to number 6, I want to look at two other pieces of Scripture I think just sort of fit in right here. The first one is Jeremiah 20, chapter 20, verse 9. These are two pieces of Scripture I think are very familiar to most of us. Jeremiah said, if I say I will not make mention of the Lord or speak any more in His name, in my mind and heart, as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of enduring and holding it in, I cannot contain it any longer. You know, that's Jeremiah referred to it. Jeremiah referred to it as a fire that is shut up inside of his bones, that he grows weary endeavoring to try to carry the Word of God. For years, I have expressed it in my own life as being pregnant. That all during the week, is the word ingestation? What do you call a baby growing inside of you? Yeah. Is ingestation? Okay. Okay, huh? Just plain gestation. That all during the week there's a word that is ingesting, okay, whatever, inside of me, and what happens on Sunday is like a birth. That word is birthed out. And there are times, this morning I'm riding down the road and I've got a notepad and I'm making notes all the way up to the time I picked Jackie up. Making notes, and because there's at 5:30 this morning, and one of the things I have learned in my conversational relationship with God is on my nightstand, I keep a notepad with a pen. And at 5:30 this morning, I wake up and my wife's asleep beside of me, and I've got a flashlight, and I cut the light on and I put it in my mouth. So I don't cut a light on to wake her up, but I'm shining that light on that piece of paper, and I'm writing down far/faithfulness, distance/dedication. And then I sit up on the side of the bed, and other stuff starts to come, and I start writing all this stuff down, holding that. Yeah, good. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's a good way to keep your mouth shut while he's talking. That's exactly right. Which is always good advice. Jeremiah called it a fire shut up inside of my bones. I call it a baby that's being born that has to be delivered. It's gotta come out. When God puts a word inside of you, it is a consuming word. Then the other piece of scripture I'd like to look at before I go on to number 6 is in Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Although, you know what? My note there says 23, but my scripture here says 13. Let me look and see which one is right. 13 is correct. I meant for that to read Acts 4, 13. Acts 4, 13. Now when they saw the boldness and unfettered eloquence of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and untrained in the schools, common men with no educational advantages, they marveled and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Notice in verse 13, there was not only a boldness, according to the Amplified Version, there was an eloquence with which Peter and John spoke. This eloquence and this boldness came from men. And how many of you know that if you're addressing a crowd about something that you are uneducated about, you don't do it with boldness? But there was a boldness and an eloquence from men who were perceived as being uneducated and not having the advantages of others. And it marveled those who heard because they recognized that they had been seen with Jesus. Here's the point I want to make right here. Really, the only thing we have to say that's worth hearing is what we hear when we have been with Jesus. The human voice. God speaking through us. Everybody with me? And let me just, and before I go on number 6, then let me say, and this privilege and right and responsibility is not delegated to a few. This is a right and a privilege of every child of God. We somehow think that, you know, that, well, the preacher gets to do it every Sunday, you know, he's out there and he's speaking the Word of God. But you know what? Sometimes God just wants to say hello. Sometimes God just wants to say, hey, I care. Sometimes God just wants to drop a card in the mail. Sometimes God just wants to hug somebody. Amen. And when those things are done in God, they are the same as God doing them. Which piggytails me back to what we're looking for, though, is we're looking for these big experiences and, you know, and all that stuff becomes suspect when you understand that all God is looking for is when you see somebody who's hurting that you give them a hug. And when you see somebody who's dejected that you stop and you encourage them. That is the human voice. But somehow or another, we think of that as being the responsibility of the preacher or of the elders or of the somebody else. But actually, it's the privilege of each of us.
And if you listen to that internal voice,
you'll know when and what exactly. Anybody a question on anything so far? Number 6 is the still small voice. The human voice, number 5, is God speaking out loud through me to you. The still small voice is God speaking to your spirit. Not necessarily that it needs to go anywhere else, but that God is speaking to your spirit. You understand that our bodies are the facilitators for our spirit. In other words, my spirit doesn't reach through my body and shake your hand. But when I shake your hand with my body, my spirit is being facilitated by the body. My ears do not hear God speak. My spirit hears God speak. It's the ears of my spirit that hear God speak. And sometimes those ears hear something that, number five, the human voice needs to repeat. Most of what my spirit hears is God saying something to me. How many times, and this is not really a great example, and probably not the best example, and not really the example I'm looking for, but there have been times when we've all been driving and we heard a voice and we did what the voice said and we avoided being in an accident. There's that still small voice that speaks to our spirit. And sometimes we've just been in the grocery store and we've heard that voice say, "See that person over there? Just pray." That voice doesn't ask us to go over and necessarily say something, number five. It doesn't ask us to call down fire from heaven to consume all the Boston butts and lick up all the blood in the bottom of the freezer, you know, and some kind of voice come out going, "This is my prophet, hear from them." You know, lots of times it's not a phenomenon with a voice on the backside of it. Sometimes it's just a still, small voice on the inside that says, "Watch out. Be careful." Most of us, what we hear it say is, "Don't say that."
That's what I was getting ready to say.
Some of you are sitting there like, "What did he say?" You know, you heard me. Most of what we hear from the still small voice is, "Hush." But there is this still small voice that speaks to us, and this. Any questions? If I got one, I ain't asking. And this point takes us back to where I started in Psalm 20. Proverbs 20. Oh, don't write that down. Where am I? Come on, where's my cursor? There it is. There we go. This brings us back to where we started in Psalm 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. We talked about what does a candle do? It sheds light. But here's something else I want us to take a look at from a different perspective on this verse. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Do you stop and think about what you know about a candle? Think about how sensitive a candle is to wind. It doesn't take much movement of the air at all, and a candle will register that the wind's moving. Huh? Right, and don't jiggle a candle, yeah. But are you listening? It doesn't take much movement of the wind for the candle to move. Are you listening? That the Spirit blows through. Doesn't have to be some tornado named Faye visiting down in Florida for 10 days. Just the slightest little movement of the wind of God and the candle responds to God's movement. And the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Responding to every little movement of wind. Are you with me? The American Standard Bible has verse 27 reading this way: "The spirit of man is the lamp of Jehovah, searching all his inward parts." What we learn in Proverbs 20:27 is that God knows us by searching the spirit of man. Our spirit is like a lamp that shows the truth concerning ourselves. Because, you know, it's obvious that we're not informing God of anything. Okay? But what we learn here is that God knows us by searching the spirit of man, because, it, you know, it's out of the belly that the rivers of life flow. Okay? It's out of the heart that the abundance of the mouth speaks. It is out of our spirit that we are who it is we are. We focus on body, what we do. God focuses on spirit, who we are. What we learn here in Proverbs 20:27 is that God knows us by searching the spirit of man. Our spirit is like a lamp that shows the truth concerning ourselves. I have flown through the first five this morning and number six to get to this point right here to ask you this one question. Will this work in reverse? In other words, is there a lamp that allows us to search the inward parts of God? The spirit of man is a lamp in the hand of Jehovah, where he searches the inward parts of man. My question to you this morning is does that work in reverse? Is there a lamp that man can hold on to and search the inward parts of God? And the good news is that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 11, everybody turn there please. I have been so excited about this all week long. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Will you raise your hand if you're not there? Okay. Verse 11. "For what person perceives or knows and understands what passes through a man's thoughts except the man's own spirit within him?" In other words, the spirit lights up what is the perception, what he knows, and what a man understands of himself. "Just so no one discerns or comes to know and comprehend the thoughts of God except" what lamp? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God knows the Spirit of God. "Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit which is from God, given to us that we might realize, comprehend, and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God." In other words, everything that is inside of God to give to us is explored, discovered, and experienced by knowing the Holy Spirit. He is the lamp that lights your way inside of God for us to discover what God has purposed in His heart for us. So since the spirit of man is the lamp that God uses to search the inward parts of man, the question is, does that work in reverse? The answer is, the Holy Spirit is the lamp that allows man to search the inward parts of God. Conversational relationship. We're back to those two words again. Where God is searching me, and I am searching God. Verse 13, "And we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit." What verse 13 is about is number 5 on your outline. If you look at it, What verse 13 about is number 5 on your outline. He says, we tell you these truths. How does he tell it? With human voice, not taught by human wisdom, but by God speaking through our voice. Verse 14, but the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, meaningless, nonsense to him. He is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them. Why? Because spiritual things are discerned, estimated, and appreciated by spiritual people. So in other words, you can't take your lamp and search God. You can't take artificial light and search God. You can't grab a battery and put in super LEDs and come up with some kind of a car battery and search God. In order to search God, we search the inward parts of God being led by the light of the Holy Spirit. And so unless you have the light of the Holy Spirit, you have not God. Now, if those words get out of here, there probably will be, you know, people outside next week going, this place thinks that only Christians hear from God. Well, guess what? That is what this place thinks. Yeah. Won't do them any good, though, unless they want to know the truth. 15. But the spiritual man tries all things, investigates, inquires into, questions, and discerns all things. Well, not unless he's in church. In church, we're told him to be quiet, sit down, shove this down your throat, and do what I tell you to do. But spiritual men examine things, yet is himself to be put on trial and judged by no one. He can be read, understand meaning, but no one can properly discern or appraise or get an insight into him. Verse 16, for who has known or understood the mind and counsels and purposes of the Lord so as to guide and instruct the Lord and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of capital H, his heart. Look at that last line. We hold the thoughts, the feelings, and the purposes of the very heart of God. Why? Because the lamp of God shows us the inward parts of God. What happens is that when you catch hold of this concept, do I sound like I'm excited? It's only because I am. When you catch hold of this concept, you then are able to understand what Jesus was asking for in John chapter 17. Neither for these alone do I pray. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for Don, who will come to believe in, trust in, cling, and rely on me through the words of the disciples and their teachings. That Don may be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that Don also may be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. The fulfillment of Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17 is when we grasp hold of the truth. I started to say concept. I'm glad I did not use that word. When we grasp hold of the truth that the Holy Spirit of God is the lamp that lights our way as we explore, discover, are excited by, and thrilled to our very souls with who God is. Yes, it works in reverse. I've said for many years that heaven is like being dropped in the middle of the ocean with a foot ruler with the instructions to measure. Thank you. Senior moment. With the instructions to measure the height, the depth, the breadth, and the width of the ocean. Heaven's just like that. What you do is you get dropped into the middle of God with a foot ruler, with the instructions to measure the height, the depth, the width, and the breadth of who God is. You know what? Because you got that instruction, that's why it's called eternity. Because it's going to take you that long to get your measurements right. That's why we need eternity. That's why God created the word eon. Most of you are going, what? Yeah. It's that long. Because when we're dropped into the middle of God, just about, how many of you have lived with God long enough to know that just about the time you think you got Him figured out, He pops out somewhere else. He does something you never imagined He would do. I'm convicted in my own life about how astounded I am at God's graciousness. Because He's never been anything but gracious. So why am I surprised at how gracious He is? And yet I am constantly surprised at how gracious He is, and then I'm embarrassed that I didn't realize how gracious You are. But just about the time I think I've got my foot ruler and I've got graciousness all figured out, graciousness just gets bigger. And we ain't even started on mercy. Okay. So maybe some needed to start there, you know? But I was thinking about this yesterday, riding over to Teresa's house. If you know anything about Teresa at all, and you know where she started, and you see where she is, you go, great is our God and greatly to be praised. Amen. Am I saying anything not true? And yet I'm riding over there and I'm going, God, part of me wants to say to You, I can't believe what You've done. And part of me is embarrassed to say, I can't believe what You've done. Because You've not ever done anything but be just like what You've done. You see my torment? And I look down, I'm doing 80 miles an hour, 485. I said, I better slow down. But sometimes or another, you know, we just get to thinking about how great He is and we don't realize that there's even anybody else in the whole world with us. But I'm embarrassed by my surprise at His graciousness. Because in 52 years of dealing with Him, He's never been ungracious. Not one time. My spirit is the candle that God searches the inward parts. What I hear Him say is, whoops, look what I found. Whoops, look what I found. You got your hand on that. Are you willing to take your hand off? Because how many of you know everything I don't want Him to find, I got my hand on. Trying to hold on to it. Yeah. What I hear Him say is, whoops, look what I found. Take your hand off that. He doesn't say, throw it away. He says, just take your hand off of it. I'll take the garbage out. I can take the garbage out just fine. I accomplished that at a place called Calvary. I can take the garbage out. I just need you to take your hand off of it. If you'll give it to me, I'll take it out. Because how many of you know when I take it out, as soon as He turns His back, I'm out there fishing in the garbage can. Trying to find it again. Where is it? I've lived with that anger so long, I don't think I can live without it. I've lived with that unforgiveness so long, I don't think I can live without it. I've lived with that prejudice so long, I don't think I can live without it. Which can did He throw that in? Call CSI. So we got a crime scene here and I got to find what He... It ain't cold case because it's just fresh and warm out there in that trash can. Isn't it? And we're only laughing because we all know it's true. Laugh or, that's exactly right. It is laugh or cry. We all know it's true. But you know, in the midst of all of that, He still remains gracious. He takes that spirit, uses it like a candle, and He searches the inward parts. But He doesn't take the privilege of that and not allow me the same privilege of taking His spirit and searching His inward parts. That they, Father, John 17:21, might be in us as I am in you. That they would take the Holy Spirit and they would search all of your inward parts. Today I want to close with giving you well, what I think is a phenomenal word. It's not phenomenal because I said it. It's phenomenal because it's in the Word. That's what makes it phenomenal. This morning I want to give you what I think is a phenomenal word, but I want to challenge you to search. You know, David said to God, "Search me, try me, know me, O God." I want to challenge you today to search, know, and try God. Now, I hate that try Jesus stuff, you know. You don't try Jesus, keep your receipt. If you don't like Him, bring Him back and we'll give you money back. You know, I hate that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about try as in see if you want Him. I'm talking about try as in use. Interject God into your relationships that are not like they ought to be. Reinterject God into that garbage that needs to be taken out. Interject God into those places where you feel despondent or scared, or afraid. Interject God into the apprehensions that you have about your children going to school this week. Interject God. Try using Him, and you will find Him to be gracious and merciful and kind. Socially interacting with you, expressing love. It's the only way it ever works. Even in what we call discipline, it's an expression of His love. Because that's how it is the love of God that constrains me. Anybody have a question, comment? Let's pray. Oh God, how thrilling your word is, how it washes over us and renews and refreshes us. God, we are excited to know that by Your Spirit we can know You. And we want to. We want to know You. We want to be known by You. And we want our voice and Your voice to be one voice. In Jesus' name.